Your music sucks, but we love it and we want you to keep making it. Our opinions and thoughts towards bands and artists are just those, opinions. We mean no disrespect to the artists or the impact they've made and continue to make on the musical landscape.
I am going to start this episode on a sad note. I'm a little late to the, lack of a better word, party on this one. But I wrote a eulogy for Malcolm Young, who is one of my childhood heroes. He passed away, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it took me a while to write this. But I'm going to read it, because this is a music podcast, and we're people who respect musicians and have heroes, and he was definitely one of them. So, here we go. There are a few musician deaths that have affected me as much as Malcolm Young. Losing any member of AC/DC would be traumatic for me. God forbid Angus or Brian go anytime soon. But Malcolm, you have always been such a treasure to me. Growing up, I always wanted to be Bon or your younger brother Angus. But as I got older, I admired the way you always kept yourself out of the fucking limelight so that you could focus on the music. Never straying from the goals and directions you set for the band. You taught me, whether you know it or not, the importance of melody and a great rhythm section. You taught me that having a singular goal and never straying from it was a purpose that I needed to have in life. I will never stray from my dreams because of the way you lived your life. Fucking rock on in the afterlife or whatever the hell exists after Earth, Malcolm. You've given me more joy and passion than I probably deserve. Rest in peace, dude. And on that note, that very sad note, welcome to the Your Music Sucks podcast. Always remember, even if your music is good, it still sucks to someone.
Yes, and even if you write a great eulogy,
it still sucks.
Your friend will put fucking in it twice.
Did you do that? I was like, I don't remember writing that. And I said it the first time, and I was like, wow, that's pretty...
And also anti to the spirit of AC/DC, who would... use other ways to communicate terms such as fucking
sex. You really got me with that one, man. See? Up top.
See what I'm doing?
That was next level giving me shit. You're giving me shit when I'm talking about my childhood hero.
Yeah.
That's a true friend there. If you have a friend who, when you're crying about someone you care about, will laugh at you, that's a real friend, man. That's a real friend. Anyway, so... you would think that this episode would be about AC/DC, but you would think wrong. Because I want to do a little more. AC/DC is probably one of my top three favorite bands of all time. And I want to do a... I want to do it proper.
On an S-O-A-D.
Yeah. Huh. So today, just like Jason said, we're going to talk about System of a Down. Serge Tankian, Darren Malaklakia.
See, these are the things.
These are the things. I should know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, we should know.
I've loved him since 2001. I should know how to pronounce his name.
Who is in... Brenda!
Our friend Brenda was supposed to be here. And she had to go home. I don't blame her. It was a long day at the Trader Joe's.
The Trader of Joe's.
The Trader of Joe's.
Trade people.
John Damian, he is the drummer. And then Shavo, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Shavo is the bass player.
Odadjian.
And then Darren...
Malakian. The soulful voice that sucks you in.
Yeah. No, oh, that's Serge, man.
Well, the Serge, but he... he's the other soulful, sneaky...
he's the harmony.
Harmony.
That dude can harmonize. And even when he's the melody... oh, God. Both of them... okay, we gotta get into this. We'll get into it. We're just gonna start. All right, so our topics for this evening.
Genocide.
We'll get to that, I'm sure. So, what Jason is referring to... so, many of you who are not avid SOD, System of a Down, SOD will be the... acronym we use, so we don't have to say System of a Down every time we're referring to the band. Sode is a lot of their songs are about the Armenian genocide. They are from Armenia, and or yeah. So sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. They're from Armenian.
Oh. I knew you were going to fucking call me on it, you piece of shit. They're from Armenia. But anyway, there was a genocide that occurred, I think, in the 30s, 40s? Earlier than that, like...
I thought it was way before that. Oh, the, okay. It was the 15s.
It was the, like...
Not 2015.
So it was, like, right after World War One. So pretty much Turkey went into Armenia and just killed a ton of people. And for a long time, not a lot of people recognized it. Not a lot of countries recognized it. I think America was one of the first ones. Like, good on you, America, for doing that, if I remember correctly. But pretty much no one recognized this, and Turkey was just getting off of it. Like, no one charged them for war crimes. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They just killed, like, hundreds of thousands of people. And not hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands of people. I mean, regardless, they killed a bunch of people. It's disgusting. And no one held them accountable for it. And then I think someone, I think it was Britain did recently, if I remember correctly.
Well, it's, yeah, I guess 29 countries. And here's the kicker. 48 U.S. states have recognized the Armenian genocide. So,
yeah.
Who were the two? Texas. And...
Texas and Hawaii. Hawaii. Nah, it's probably like New Jersey. They probably just have like had it on their dossier for years and just never gotten around to it. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of System of a Down songs are, that's what Jason was referring to, are referring to that genocide which have not been recognized by many of the countries in the world and are apparently to U.S. states. So, a lot of their songs, a couple of my favorite songs are, but what we're going to start off on the System of a Down topic today is, Jason, what was the album that turned you on to System of a Down?
The album that turned me on to System of a Down was their self-titled album, really? System of a Down.
Same here. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I mean, of course, so when Toxicity dropped in 2001, which... Fun fact, that was it was literally a week before 9/11, which, that album is incredibly politically driven, so I mean, that came out at like literally the perfect time for that. And I'm using literally, as not figuratively, as literally. So, it was a really good time for that album to come out, because that's when the U.S. just became like its most political. But, I mean... Chop Suey was everywhere. Aerials was everywhere. That song was all over the place. I mean, I was, not to really make myself how young I am, but that album came out when I was like 7.
Mm.
So, I mean, and I knew Chop Suey at 7. At least I knew, wake up! Like, I knew that part at 7 years old. I didn't know anything else. But when I was probably in 9th grade, so that would have been... probably 8 years later, I got back into Sode, and that was because one of my friends showed me their self-titled. Again, Chase G, another shout out. You showed me a lot of great music, man. Thank you. But yeah, he got me back into System, and it was because he showed me a self-title, and he showed me the first song of that album.
Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea, thank you. Yeah, which is the... Jesus song, and that song was fucking great. And then, yeah, after that was what got me back in the System of a Down, and I just listened to them endlessly. It was like Radiohead for me, where I just, someone said, hey, listen to Radiohead, and I started at the very beginning and listened to every single one of their albums until I knew it frontwards, backwards. I had every lyric memorized and knew every guitar part and drum line, everything. And when did you get in the System?
I got into System in, let's see, I was in high school around 2001, maybe, 2001, and...
So I was 7 when he was in high school.
I was driving around, we were doing one of those door-to-door fundraisers for high school, and mm-hmm. it was my friend Donnie and I in his truck, and he was playing he played Sugar from System of a Down, a song off their self-titled album, which I would later learn. And yeah, from there, I...
Now, so he says, in that song, to interrupt you, he says the kombucha mushroom people, right?
Oh, I don't know.
The kombucha mushroom people.
I don't think so. Sitting
around all day. It's definitely mushroom people. Huh, what's my name, you... Or that music video is really fucking creepy, by the way, if you've never seen it.
Maybe it does say that. I don't know.
Let your mother's pray.
Sugar. But yeah, that was it. That was the introduction. From there, I... did, yeah, I just... Spiders. He played Spiders next, which blew my fracking mind.
In your head.
Yes.
In my head.
Like nothing I'd ever heard before.
God, Serge is such a good front man.
And those two songs hooked me. Then I discovered, you know, well, not discovered, but they came out with Toxicity.
Yeah, that was their, like, I wouldn't say it's their magnum opus, but that was their, like, what put them on the map. That was their Nevermind. Like, that, it just came out of pretty much nowhere at the time. Mm-hmm. It was their self-titled was, I mean, it's great. It's not my favorite album of theirs, but it's fucking great. Actually, it is my favorite album of theirs, I gotta say. But it's, yeah, like, it just came out of nowhere. And then Toxicity was just, it was everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing Aerials or, like, Deer Dance.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Deer Dance was on a commercial. Just the da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. Like, that was all over the place.
And so, yeah, it was 98. Their self-titled came out, and then 2001 Toxicity came out. So that matches up. You know, he was listening to that, and then there was this compilation album that I listened to. You know, I got a lot of music off of. It was MTV's Return of the Rock, and that had Sweet Pea on it. And it was one of those I picked up at the store. It was another, you know, like $4.99, something like that. So why not? And I saw it. It had System on it, so I bought it. And then Sweet Pea tied into that, and yeah, from there.
So for me, getting into System at like that point in my life, so I guess it would have been 2009. So I was growing up around the time that like Toxicity came out, so the time Jason was getting into Toxicity, I was getting really, really into, so 2001, getting really into Hybrid Theory, Linkin Park.
Ooh.
That was one of my first just albums that really touched me. I mean, there have been a lot of them, but just like more current music, because at that time I was listening to a lot of Queen. I was playing Sonic on my GameCube a lot and listening to Queen's The Game. And that's when I was like 8 or 9.
Sonic 06.
Not Sonic 06. It was a piece of shit, man. I'm not going to play that shit.
We won't go there.
We'll have this on our separate video game podcast that we do every Tuesday, Thursday. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I was listening to a lot of that. And then Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory. I just remember hearing my stepbrother play that once on his boombox in his room. And just heard the first notes to Crawling. The da-da-da. Da 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 da, and was like, "What is that?" And then when the guitar came and the chin, and then after that, I was watching them fucking play songs in the sewer, like jamming songs to "Shut Up When I'm Talking to You." But so that's like that was my first formative album, and I hadn't really.
And then they had that song called "Hooba Stank."
So it's really funny listening back to Hooba Stank now. I have to get off on a tangent. It's going to be a really short tangent. But listening back to Hooba Stank now, like, I loved Hooba Stank growing up.
I did too.
Like, Crawling in the Dark.
Dude, that song was
looking for awesome. The answers. Tell me something more. Like,
all my friends hated them.
They just ripped off Incubus. That's all they did.
Yes.
It's just fucking the second Incubus album is all it is. And It's not bad, but it's like listening to that and then listening to Incubus, you're just like, holy shit, like, this is just Incubus. But anyway, So I hadn't had an album that touched my angst in that way in such a long time, and I had been, okay. I had anger, like AC/DC, Nirvana, and Nirvana touches angst, but not in the same way that Hybrid Theory, or I would even argue System of a Down, does.
Yeah.
Because what Linkin Park had going for it early on was just pure angst. It was just pure, it really touched that part of your... There's not a lot of art to Linkin Park, especially Hybrid Theory. It's not very... It's artful, but it's artful because it's angsty. There's not a lot of meat to it, you know?
Well, I think they did it. I would say some of the art might have come from introducing the DJ into the...
Well, yeah, I just meant lyrically.
Yeah.
Lyrically, yeah. There's not a lot of meat to it.
Yeah.
But...
It is angsty.
It's very angsty, and I think that's what it had going for it.
Yeah, and at the boy, time. Did I identify with that.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
And when their third album wasn't bad, the one after Meteora, but their fourth album, Minutes to Midnight, was... That's when Chester started to lose his voice, and they had to switch their sound so that they could keep playing together as a band. Also, rip Chester, by the way. But yeah, it sucked. And it was that album. It didn't suck. There was a couple good songs on it. I mean, what I meant by it sucked was losing him sucks. But yeah, Hybrid Theory was just pure angst. There wasn't a lot of meat or filler to it, or even art for that matter. It was more just, I'm angry, and that I really felt that at 8, 9 years old. So I hadn't really gotten in touch with that. I was listening to a lot of Maiden at the time. In 8th grade, I got really into Iron Maiden, was listening to Number of the Beast and Fear of the Dark, all those albums. And was just, like, absolutely encapsulated with everything that Maiden was. But there was something missing from Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden has great melody. Like, everything about that band is fantastic. But it was really what the lyrics and the purpose of the songs were missing from me. And Maiden drifts into that prog rock kind of thing.
Mm.
Where they'll do... The songs don't really have weight or purpose to them. They'll be like, oh, I liked Frankenstein, so I wrote an out song about Frankenstein.
Mm.
And it's like, that's not necessarily bad, but I don't think it's artful or impactful, necessarily. Mm-hmm. What I like about Maiden is just like, this is just pure fucking music. It's just fucking metal, balls to the wall. Bruce Dickinson is a badass. Steve Harris is a badass. Like, that's what I like about Maiden. And I was really into Maiden at the time. And so I think that was a good transition from really enjoying Linkin Park and really enjoying Maiden and then moving into System of a Down. Because System of a Down kind of takes what's best about both those bands, the pure anger of Linkin Park. And I'm not saying that System of a Down listened to Linkin Park and Maiden and was like, oh yeah, but this is just for me. Where they kind of took the angst of Linkin Park for me and the just musicality of Iron Maiden and like slammed the two together. And that's what was awesome about it. That's why I still love them to this day.
System of a Down.
Yes, that's who I'm referring to.
Of course.
The Soad.
The Soad, S-O-A-D.
Jason, what are your, if you could pick... So I put 6 songs in my top favorite 5 songs because I couldn't pick 5.
I have 5 and 3 honorable mentions.
Okay, so I have 5 and 1 honorable mention.
Okay. So I go with my favorite songs. I have...
Just name the first one.
All right, the first one's Spiders.
Okay, and why is that?
I think they're... To this date, there is no song that I've heard that's like Spiders that's... you might say it has similarities to maybe a Tool songs, but there is nothing quite like Spiders that hooks you in with the just that emotion and the
keep talking else. I need to go let my dog in.
Second song I have is Sugar from the same album. You compare it to Spiders, it's completely different, but still the same. Exactly the same, only different. It's more hype, it's more in your face, you know, get jacked up. really, you know, blow it out. So for, to me, Spiders and Sugar, you know, they're off that first album, but they both showcase what System of a Down can do with the melodic parts, with the, I don't want to say operatic, but
it's, Surge is very operatic.
Yeah, from that spectrum to where it really, it pulls on you and sucks you in and gives this huge, paints this huge picture to Sugar, which just gets down and dirty and puts you right in the action.
Well, that was what drew me to them so much, is they could go, like, just listening to the first album, which was what I heard Toxicity when it first came out, like, of course, the hits off of it. And then when I really got into them, similar to Radiohead, I just listened to their first album. And what really drew me in was just how just strange and disgusting Sweet Pea was. Because it's really offensive. Because one, they're calling Jesus a woman. They're talking about fucking Jesus. It's just very offensive, especially growing up. My stepfather wouldn't let me listen here. He was afraid that I was becoming satanic because I was listening to Iron Maiden. So just, and no shame on him. I mean, he was born Catholic. Like, he's a fantastic human being. But I can understand, like, growing up in the 80s and hearing Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, thinking they're satanic, yeah, it's very scary. So to hear a song that was pretty much just lampooning Jesus Christ is very, I don't know, it's very shocking to your Christian ears. And so I can totally understand that. For me, my first favorite song, my top number one song is Darts. And it's off the first album, too. Mm-hmm. Just because that is, they're drawing influence. It's very cryptic, but they're drawing influence from old Arminian gods. And they're, like when he says, not human man art thou, not human man art thou. He's talking about how just inhuman the killing. Sorry, my dog's eating right now. If you guys can hear that, I'm so sorry. But it's how inhuman just the murders and the actual genocide that the Turkish people committed on these Arminians. So like when he says, not human man art thou, he's comparing them to demons. And then when he says, I think it's, rise as did the gods Ninti and Ishkur. And then he says, and Ishkur, motherfucker, which is awesome. He's just talking about how the old Arminian gods would hopefully come and save them at some point. And I just loved that it was talking about this tragedy and then drawing back to that time that, like, drawing back to the, it put you back in the early 1900s, in the 19s. And I just thought that was so cool. And my second's the Prison Song, which is the song that really hooked me on this band and knew that I'd love them forever. Because it's just so visceral, it's so powerful. And I just love, and like when someone says, like, why do you love System of a Down so much? I show them this song. Because 3 minutes into that song, he just starts listing off actual Wikipedia facts about the band, or about prisons. And it's fucking so cool. He's like, successful research and drug policy shows that treatment should be increased. And then, like, why? Like, just screaming. Like, it's so meta, metal, everything. Like, I name another band that is just, like, wrote down facts on a notepad from Wikipedia and then is yelling them into a microphone. That's bad fucking ass.
Yeah, it's a song with a purpose. I really like it.
And that's why they are, they're taking from the 60s, 70s Bob Dylan, where he was writing protest songs. And it for me, this is my generation's protest song. It's Prison Song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, for so long, wrote songs about just how fucked up the U.S. policy was. And they were doing that back, like, the end of nu metal era and the end of political music was for, in my era, it's coming back now, but it was when Obama was elected. It just kind of died off, like after American Idiot, which was kind of the bookmark for that, as Jason said earlier today in a conversation. That was just kind of the end. Like, that was like the end all be all of political music. And like, American Idiot's great. It's not the best Green Day album, but it's great. And that was the end all be all. But System of a Down was doing this back before 9/11. Mm-hmm. Like, they realized that shit was fucked up before 9/11. And that's, like, just listening to some of those old songs, like Prison Song and just shit like that, it's so, just, wow, like, it became, it made me political, because I was like, wow, this is fucked up. Like, five guys that aren't even from, or four guys that aren't even from the U.S. can write songs about it, and it's like, wow, all right. Like, it brought my attention to so much political endeavors that I didn't even know about the Armenian genocide before I heard System of a Down.
Yeah.
And they didn't teach me that in school until 10th grade. And when I was, like, when there was a test on Armenian genocide, and I was like, oh, shit, like, I know all this because I listen to System of a Down. Not saying, like, thanks, System of a Down, for teaching me about this so I could pass a test. It was just like, I would have never known about this travesty that a country committed if it wasn't for this band. And I think that speaks to the power of music itself, where you can, like, if you have an audience, use that fucking pedestal that you've created for yourselves.
Yeah.
Really, like, still make the music important, and they've always done that. But really, write songs that mean something to you. Write songs that, whether, I'm not saying you have to write political songs, but write songs that are important. Write songs that really can affect people. Write songs that can fix depression. Write songs that can fix political stuff, like System of a Down songs. Write songs that can fix just regular day society. Make people more normal, like, and more, not normal, but make people more accepting. Yeah. It's, use your pedestal. And fucking Serge Tankian and Darren did that shit so well.
About the industrial prison complex.
Exactly. All right, Jason, what's your third sentence. Favorite song?
Third favorite song I have, it's a homer. It's Toxicity. I love Toxicity. It was one of their biggest radio-friendly hits.
Yeah.
But rightfully so. Mm-hmm. It's not always the radio-friendly tracks that are your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it's an easy choice, and I can listen to it endlessly.
Oh, God.
It's off. A little background. I listened to this album. I listened to that album so much as a... and Toxicity, ahead of football games, ahead of any of the sporting events I had. It was my pump up, get you pumped up, go out there and do it album. It, when I was going out for a jog, when I was in the weight room, when I was doing anything, it was System of a Down. And there's something about it. It's got everything you want in a song.
I totally agree with you. Backstory for me on that song, I practiced that song, singing that song, day in and day out.
Oh.
And I, just because Serge's voice on that is fucking flawless.
It is perfect.
I actually won a karaoke contest for my cover of Serge Tankian's Toxicity, or System of a Down's Toxicity, because I could sound so much like him. I'm not going to do it live because I'm really drunk right now. But yeah, it's, I love that song. It doesn't fit into my favorite songs. It's definitely an honorable mention. But it is just, it is, for people, it's definitely a very good introductory song. Because some of their stuff is like super out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cigarro, or This Cocaine Makes Me Feel Like I'm On This Song. It's very just kind of visceral and like, oh, whoa, that's shocking. But that song is just so, it's so political. It's so, it's just perfect System of a Down. It's what they were going for their entire career.
Mm.
So my third favorite song is No, which is off their debut album, their self-titled. And for me, it's cryptic, but it still means a lot. Like when he says... Brenna! Look up these lyrics! He's like, da, 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 da. Well, people flap their yellow wings, trying to soar, being a whore, life in almost everything. Sheep that ran from the herd, da, 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 now a bird, ever to die, ever to fly, ever to fuck your mother earth. Like, it's just so, like, again, it's very political, it's very sociological, it's very philosophical, and it's just out there. And hearing that for the first time, because, I mean, again, listening to Maiden, where nothing wrong with this style of songwriting, they're writing songs about Frankenstein, they're writing songs about being stuck in a prison and dying, being a pirate. and don't get me wrong, Maiden had their political songs, Run to the Hills, The Trooper. Like, those are very political songs. But they just don't speak to you. They don't have the same anger that these songs do. And that song was just... it's speaking to about religion and saying, like, how so many religions will deny just people asking questions about them instead of encouraging questions. Mm. You should... and that was their big point, is, like, you never need to know why God did the things he did. But you should question it. And that's what makes a religion strong, and your belief in a religion strong, if you can question the reason that your higher power or deity did something, and you can question it and become to understand their reasoning for it. Because what makes a God relatable and you want to believe in them is their humanity. And that's what that song's about. And that was really impactful for me, because it was around the time that I started to question my faith. And hearing that, there's a lot of book symbolism in that, which he's referring to the Bible, and it's just kind of like it's a pro question your beliefs song. And that was something that I didn't really have growing up, because my mom would just say, nope, God has a plan. And I'd always be like, oh, well, like, why does God plan include killing Africans? And they're like, oh, that's just part of his plan. God's got a plan for everyone. And I'm like, that's a really shitty plan. And like, so when I heard that song, that was really impactful for me, because I was like, oh, okay. Maybe if there is a God, he's still somewhat human and is imperfect.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to question your beliefs, and that's what that song, to me, is about. I don't know if Serge and the band wrote it that way, but to me, that's what that song represents.
Nice.
What's your fourth favorite song, Jason?
My fourth favorite is Forest off of Toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
I like Forest a lot because it has the really hard elements, and then the really soft, and it has one of my favorite breakdown solos of any of their songs,
mm-hmm.
where it goes into a magic zone, and the guitar takes you, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, Darren's got some incredible solos. He really does, and I think he really shines on that song, too. And again, that's one of Serge's songs where he really just kind of takes off and lets his voice carry the music, but then he also backs off and lets the music just kind of flow out of the band. And it's really wonderful because there are so many Serge songs where Serge is like there always. And it's cool to, like, watch him take a step back and be like, wow, there's really something special coming out of the other three members.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the last two albums, Hypnotize and the other one, I can't remember it, they kind of lacked that because it was so vocal heavy. Hypnotize and Mesmerize. And they're still great albums, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Forest was just something special because the four of them realized, like, wow, we really have a special riff. We really have a special, like, everything about the music here is special. So let's just back off and let that soak in. And
I thought
that was what was really cool about that song.
Nice.
So my fourth favorite song is Stealing Society, just because, mainly because of the da-na-na-na-na-na-na, yeah! All right! Da-na-na-na-na, yeah! Da-na-na-na-na-na, all right! Da-na-na-na-na, yeah! All right! And then Darren's verse when he goes, crack pipe, da-na-na-na, PCP, and fast cars kind of mix really well in a dead movie star. Like, so good. That song for me is just purely, doesn't connect with me emotionally at all. It's just like the guitar riff is fucking awesome. The band is so tight during that entire song. And then just that verse when Darren comes in, it just kind of speaks to just Hollywood craziness and Hollywood just, what's the word? It's the word when you're really into stuff.
Hollywood.
No, it doesn't have to do with Hollywood, but materialism. That's the word I'm looking for. it's just materialistic and chasing highs and stuff like that. And that song, I don't connect with any of that stuff, but I just feel like it encapsulates all of that era of the early 2000s of just Lindsay, what's her name?
Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan, just getting Amanda Bynes getting fucked up all the time.
Endless excess.
Endless excess. And it was just, thank you, Jason. It was wonderful. What's your fourth favorite song?
So I'm actually on the fourth already because we had one.
Did Forest, that's right. What's so your fifth favorite song?
Fifth favorite, I have Aerials. Yeah, Aerials is the complete.
Which is the third song anyone who can play guitar learns how to play. You've heard of Drop D before, right? It's revolutionary. Also, fun fact, System of a Down played in drop C sharp. Jesus. So they played in drop D and then dropped everything a half step. Mm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little music fact for you to blow your mind.
So I just remember Aerials most from when I was living in Altus, Oklahoma, the armpit of America. And or taint positionally, maybe.
It's definitely the taint. Not that I've ever been there. It's just I'm thinking of
there were crack houses.
Anatomically the position in the United States. Oklahoma is definitely the taint. Texas is the penis, I'm not saying.
Texas is the big dick of America. Just hanging down into a Mexico.
That was me cocking my shotgun.
And so I would just drive around in my parents' van because there was nothing to do. Mm-hmm. And Blair, System of a Down, whatever other music, but Aerials. It's just that low angst of wanting to escape and wanting to spread my wings and fly.
I get it, man.
But being stuck, and that just spoke to the depression.
Yeah.
The darkness.
I feel like Oklahoma tangent, but also I feel like Oklahoma has a similar thing that Ohio has going for it. You know?
Oh yeah,
just kind of there's nothing to do. It's all flat. It's like Oklahoma's just it's flat and hot, and Ohio's it's flat and cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's just nothing to do. You can only eat Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Everyone's really religious, and everyone works at a factory.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I've never
community college
lived there. Yeah. Oh yeah. I never lived there, but that's just the vibe I get thinking of it. It's when people are oh, yeah, man, I lived in Iowa. I'm just oh, I'm sorry.
You have your hand on the pulse.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So my fifth favorite song is Metro, and it's actually a cover song of the band Berlin. And I'm not a fan of the original. I think they were trying to get somewhere, and they didn't quite get there musically. Because the music video, it's about lost love, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you love me? All this thing. And in the music video, she pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. It's a really intense song, but the music does not capture that feeling. Oh, God, it's just riding on the metro. It's so 80s. And I understand the time period it came out in, so I can kind of give them some slack, but it's not enough. But System of Down's version really realized what that song was about. It's Cake's version, which is my favorite cover of all time. Cake's version of I Will Survive.
God, it's so good.
It's so good. The original is great, but I think it's just too disco dancey to really touch what she was singing about in that song.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cake says, I would have changed that fucking lock. I would have made you take your key. And I would have left someone's loving for someone who's loving me.
Although you're getting into the issue of, this is an easy rip apart right here.
But
the male remakes the song.
I understand your point, but it's not that way with Cake.
Whereas it's empowerment otherwise. But I think they're both about empowerment. And I was just bullshitting about that.
They both are. And I can see that point where it's a man singing this now. It's about a woman. But
there's no, there's, I do not personally prescribe or prescribe
both, but yeah,
to that viewpoint, that's something that people might throw out, but
no, but you make a fair point. Like I have, empowered. That is my favorite cover song of all time is Cake's version of I Will Survive.
Choose your own and find your own empowerment.
And I will always, like, I will have conversations with that when that comes up with other fellow musicians and music lovers. Is that like, oh, but don't you feel like that's just a man's version of that song and they took away from the whole aspect? I don't. Not at one point in that song do they use a... They don't use a pronoun that is... That, like, genderifies anyone. It's always you. And I think what Cake did with that song was they took it and they encapsulated the anger in that song. I think for me, the difference with that and the original is it's too dancey and it's too upbeat. And I think Cake took that and with the just the dissonance in the horns and it's like really just one lyric. Like, and sometimes fuck is totally misused, but that song is the one time that fuck is like perfect.
Change my fucking locks.
When I should have changed that fucking lock, I should have made you take your key, and I should have given my lovin's for whom one is for someone who's loving me.
Yep.
Whatever the lyric is at that end part, it is just it's so good. And he doesn't have the anger in his voice. It's he lets the music take it. And I think that's what, and it's like, like the part is so good. That whole song, it really just encapsulates the, get this fucking person out of my life. Like, they don't love me. They pretended like they did. I'm done. And we've all felt like that. Any relationship you've had, even if it lasted for 2 days, you've all felt like that. And it's just, oh, it's so perfect. And that's this song for me, is they take a song that's really about a breakup, about, like, you drive, like, you, because the song is about, she was in France, she was on a train to London, she left Paris, and she awoke in London rain, and then, like, she pulls out a gun, and she's, like, sleeping next to a passenger, and she's holding the gun on her face, and she's looking out the window, she's gonna shoot this guy. And she's like, how dare you come back to love me? And when Serge Tankian yells, fuck you for loving me in the cover. Oh, God, that's so much. It's so much more impactful. Because we've all felt like that. We've had like, God damn it. Like, why do you love me? Like, I don't want you. You're not enough. You're not perfect enough, but I can't get rid of you. And like when he goes, fuck you for loving me. Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, it fits it perfectly. It is so much better than the original song, and I will fight anyone that says otherwise.
He will.
All right, Jason, what's your fifth favorite song?
I already did my fifth, Aerials.
Oh, did you? Is that your fifth? Okay. Yeah. What's your honorable mentions?
I've got honorable mentions here. The honorable mention number one is Roulette. It sounds nothing like... It's an acoustic emo System of a Down song
or,
with old what's his name Malakian or
Ego Brain. That's another one. I think that's actually the next song on that album. What's the Roulette? How's that go?
And it Roulette.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the. I have no problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know. How I feel when I'm around you, I
that's pretty good. that's definitely that song.
Yeah, it's that came, I definitely had an emo phase, and 2002 would have been right around then. Steal This Album was such a letdown because Steal This Album was good. But we were led to believe it would be this, you know, this new Steel or this new System of a Down album. Instead, what it turned out to be was basically sort of a B-sides feel, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it was presented as it would be the next, and I don't think they really planned on it being the next big album. I think they planned on it being sort of B-sides and a not filler, but.
So I bet you think Amnesiac is the B-sides to Kid A.
No, I don't.
No, that was just a meme. It was just
I get that tune. But it was missing an element of System of a Down that we had in the first two albums.
Yeah.
Just that certain element just wasn't there. Yeah, Mr. Jack is excellent, which I'm surprised you didn't have that in your top five.
It was, but I had to remove it.
Okay.
It definitely was, but then I forgot that Stealing Society was a song.
Okay. So I have three honorable mentions. I'll just go through them real quick.
Yeah, you just go through.
The other one is Arto. It's the last song off of Toxicity. It's this weird tribal song.
It's the aqueous transmission for Incubus fans of System of a Down songs.
And if you had the album and you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's the last track that had about something 12 minutes of silence, and then it kicked into that.
It's the Something in the Way of System of a Down songs.
What's that?
Something in the Way is the last song in Nevermind.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
I just got a fish, whatever he says. And then it's like a minute and a half, and then there's 19 minutes of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, for me, I didn't know the first couple times. I would like play it and forget. I used to like fall asleep to Nevermind.
Yeah.
And one time I like was like, oh, I had it in my earphones, whatever, and like my iPod usually died, so like I didn't hear it. But I played it on the boombox once, which was plugged into the wall. And so like I fall asleep probably around, what's a couple songs before that? Whatever. I fall asleep like 8 songs in the album. There's 12 songs in the album. And then Something in the Way is obviously the last song. So after that, Something in the Way plays. There's 19 minutes of silence. Not even like CD playing sound. There's just no silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking just nothing. And then 18 minutes into that song, you hear this. Ah! Just a fucking. I woke up screaming. I mean, this is also like 10, 11 years after the album came out. So, like, I should have known, but my parents didn't like Nirvana. But, yeah. That is, yeah.
And yeah, I used to fast forward through those minutes of silence just to hear that song many times.
It's good. It reminds me of Aqueous. Like, when you played it, I had never heard that song today because, or I had always ended it after Arto. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to listen to the rest of the 20 minutes of this. I guess it's just a goof up because when I was listening to System of a Down, I was still pirating all my music.
Yeah.
And the way I would justify pirating all my music is that I would, if I really liked a band, I would buy merch from them, which I did.
Mm.
One of the first merch shirts I bought was an Iron Maiden shirt, and the third merch shirt I bought was a System of a Down shirt.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, that's going directly to the band. I feel better about myself. Whatever. Now we have Apple Music and Spotify, and I can gladly pay for my music because it's the best method ever.
Me too.
But,
And my last honorable mention is Snowblind, which people will forget about all the time, I think because it came out around the time after this whole musical phase had kind of started to die, and we moved into the Used and all, you know, that new wave, and it came out, you know, the Ozzy Osbourne reality show time, which I think is the album it came out on. Yeah. And music just, it was changing, but yeah, that song to me got lost in a lot of the mix, and it was the first exciting. It sounded like what I thought System of a Down should sound like, and I think it came out after Steal This album. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong on that, but yeah.
It's like, man, I mean, I came into the System of a Down game late, but like when they did that collab with RZA, that shit is so good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, the
Shame on a song?
Yeah, Shame with
Is it RZA?
Is it with Wu-Tang. It's with Wu-Tang.
I feel like it was an RZA thing.
It's listed as Wu-Tang.
It's literally just the entirety of Wu-Tang.
As it existed at the time, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah, it's just.
It's just listed as Wu-Tang.
Yeah, it's technically a Wu-Tang Clan System of a Down song.
That's interesting. Yeah, but that song is so good.
killed
it. Another, like, replace the Metro. So my honorable mention has to be ADD. American Dream Denial. Just that... Like, just the absolute... Oh, God. It's just... There are so few people in 2002 when that album came out talking shit about America.
Mm.
Like, that was, like, when fucking Toby Keith was writing, we'll put a boot in your ass, that's the American way! Like, just, everything was pro-America at the time. It, like, every popular thing was pro-America, go Bush, fuck you, like, if you don't like us. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having pride in your country. I just have never personally felt that the pride in America is worthwhile. So hearing American Dream Denial, where it was just talking shit on that, was really great for me.
I, on the other hand, love America.
And that's... I'm about to stab Jason in the podcast. I'm just kidding. All right, Jason, what's your favorite System album?
System album. To preface this, I'm going to give an honorable mention. I started listening to Mesmerize again a few months ago, and I really do enjoy it. But as a whole, my favorite album is Toxicity. There's so many songs on there I can listen to either alone or just start listening to one song, and then I have to listen to the next song. And then I listen to that one, and then, oh, crap, I have to listen to this song now. Because they almost lead into each other. It's one of those albums that, to me, it's cohesive. The songs build into each other. They feed into each other. They feed from each other.
Oh, God, like, Chop Suey to Bounce, like, such, like, a serious song. And, bounce. Yeah, like, Bounce is a song about Surge. Not about Surge, but just about, like... him fucking multiple women. And, like, from Chop Suey, which is, like, father, to this hand, I defend thy spirit. Like, just so
that was deep. Not a Mountain Goat song.
It sounds like a Mountain Goat song, but it's not. Like, Sam would go into something so deep and then into, like, a song about just fucking a ton of women over and over again. Yes. Awesome.
And again, if we want to bring it back into AC/DC and the spirit of AC/DC,
Suffer!
The Bounce is a song that, you know, may have been written by AC/DC at some point.
Also, me screaming Suffer was Bon Scott on the, it was actually released in 1976, but it came out in the States in 86, and it was released in 86 as called 1976 Jailbreak. But they recorded a version, which I don't know who originally wrote that song. I would have to do some... I believe it was probably Chuck Berry, but the Animals did a version of it. I'm sure Tchaikovsky did a version of it, but it's Baby Please Don't Go. I'm pretty sure it's probably just an old jazz song.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Right?
I'm talking about Baby Please Don't Go.
Oh, yeah.
But they cover that song, and in it, Bon Scott, just the greatest... To my... I will always... Bon Scott is the greatest frontman that has ever existed. Mm. Better than Freddie Mercury. Better than anyone. Bon Scott is the best. And in this, he's like... He's pleading this... And that's why it's so impactful. He's pleading this woman... He's like, I love you. Please don't leave me. Don't leave me for this other man. Don't go to New Orleans. Just stay with me. And he goes, baby, I want to just suffer for you. And then he screams, suffer! Suffer! It's so good. Oh, shit, it's so good. So my favorite album, back to System of a Down, because I could talk about AC/DC for years. My favorite System of a Down song is their self-titled, or System of a fucking album is their self-titled.
Oh, interesting.
I love their self-titled. And it's just because it's just kind of, for me, it's the backbone of the entire band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what they built on their entire career. That was, I feel like, even when they get back together this year, that's what's going to be
When they make another album, when they release another album. It's just, like, that's what they've built on. That was the foundation of their entire band. And it's just angry, politically fueled nu metal. There's no other good nu metal bands to me besides System of a Down. I don't consider Korn to be nu metal. I don't consider Tool to be nu metal. But, like, God, they're so much better than... who's the band that I saw? Shitty band.
Orgy?
Yeah.
Slipknot. They're not really... Well, they're.
Yeah. You got 16 people in a band, and you're all wearing masks. Like, you don't need 16 people in a band. And, like, if you have four drummers, you need to rethink your lineup. You're just losing money at that point. But, yeah, there's just something about that first album that's so visceral. It's so out there. They just really went for it. They didn't have pop sensibilities at that time. It was just all just pure anger. And there's just something in that that is so wonderful. Mm. Like when you get to the end, like Darts, where they're just screaming about the Armenian genocide, how terrible it was. And then even at the beginning when you're talking about Sugar, and when he's like, I've got a girl, and then I just fucking kick her, and then, ooh, baby! Like, it's just so out there. Spiders, God, that song is fucking killer. It's about him believing that their dream, it's just like a Matrix song. It's so good. And that was, like, right around, like, you could tell that the Matrix totally fueled that song. Soil, just the breakbeat drums in that song are incredible. The drummer for System of a Down is fantastic. And then Soil, when he goes, why'd you take him away from us, you motherfucker? Oh, so good. Oh, yeah. System of a Down is just a system of a good, man. All right, our last point. How do you feel about the possible return of System of a Down?
I don't know. They did this whole thing after... a while they did some political stuff, the Surge, and what was it, something Monsters of Sound or some, he did some band with Tom Morello and from Rage Against the Machine, and but it was all acoustic, weird. There was nothing cohesive about it. You could tell it was a bunch of separate parts trying to get on the same wavelength, but with the common binding ingredient being politics. But I don't know. I don't know a return. I just read something from 2016 in November where it said they had 15 tracks ready to go. And then now, you know, I read an article as of July of this year where nothing is close.
Yeah.
And maybe they're, from what I would hope is going on, is that maybe they have these tracks, but they don't feel the inspiration behind it.
Okay.
Which, to me, their most successful music is where they're really championing something. They really have the feeling and the want to do it. Mm-hmm. So if they just don't have that, I would rather not them churn out music. I find whatever it is and give us a great album again. They did say that, in one of those articles, they weren't trying to make Toxicity 2, which they recognize that is their most successful album, but they, you know, that might speak to, they want to find that new inspiration, they want it to pay homage, but they also want it to be new and something they can really support and get behind. That's reading a lot into it, but that it makes sense.
I don't think that's reading too much into it, because I agree with you. I think I'm worried about it. Yeah. And whenever they say it's coming out this year, which they've been saying since 2015,
yeah,
I'm fucking worried about it, because they have been one of my favorite bands since forever. Mm. I loved them growing up. I love them now. Going back to them and listening through the discography, there's not a bad song. It's like AC/DC. They've never written a bad song. Sure, if you compare them to other songs, they're not as good, but they're never bad.
Mm-hmm.
they just have a perfect discography pretty much. And it is terrifying when you listen to those bands. It's like when AC/DC came out with Black Ice. I was mortified. I was like, oh, 2006, AC/DC is fucking releasing a new album? It's like in 2011 when Iron Maiden released that new album. It sucked. And I was like, wow, okay, Iron Maiden can release something bad. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. And it sucked. And it's like, all right, well, that hurt. Like, that is a mar on their discography now. And, like, I don't want that from System of a Down. Because if System of a Down is a formula. It's a formula that if it blows up, it sucks. It's like burning gasoline in your car. If you burn gasoline too hot, it explodes. But if you burn gasoline just right, it will fuel you for the rest of your life. It will get you to places that you want to go. And that's what System of a Down is for me. And I think it's terrifying to have this band that carried you for so long and made stuff that was so perfect and so impactful for so long, and for have them come back 10 years later and release a new album. It's exciting, yes, but it's also terrifying. Because you know if they release a bad album, it will be a mar on the rest of their discography. And I want it to be good. Holy shit, do I want it to be good. I've been disappointed by so many bands. Foster the People, their first album is fucking godlike. Young the Giant, first album, it's fucking godlike. Everything else they followed up with, absolute turds. And I will... If you have a problem with that...
He's going to fight a lot of people.
I will fight a lot of people. And lead singer Foster the People, I will fight you. I saw you live, you were great. Second album sucked.
Your music sucks.
Your music sucks and you should feel bad, lead singer Foster the People. You had two good songs on that album. And I like Foster the People so much.
Me too.
I will have you say their first album, they played two songs that were on the deluxe edition of their album. I didn't even know them because I liked them before they released their album. Everyone was like, I was like, oh, this is a new song. That's so cool. And like the people I went with, it was like, no. They released the song last year. And I was like, no, they didn't. They're like, no. This song came out. It was on the deluxe edition. I was like, there was a deluxe edition?
Deluxe edition.
I was like, oh, God, I'm such a hipster. Like, I got them, like, I liked them a year before everyone else liked them. So, like, yeah, no. Like, there's been a shit ton of bands that have disappointed me. Like, every indie artist that I've ever loved has disappointed me. Freelance Wales, Young the Giant, Foster the People. You guys suck.
Stars.
System of a Down cannot suck. They're legendary, and it terrifies me that they're going to suck.
Yeah.
It terrifies me. It's like when the American Football Volume 2 came out. I was like, oh, God. Just don't. And it sucked. It sucked. The lyrics were bad. It sucked. And it is a mar on the first American Football album. As good as it is, you listen to it now, and you're like, ah, well... I know the guy, like, there's a reason there was no Captain Jazz 2, because, like, you can't top Captain Jazz 1.
Yeah.
You can't top Alphabetology or whatever it is. Like, it's so good. Don't fucking, if you don't have the same heart that your first album has, don't fucking release it. If System of a Down never releases another album, I'll be okay with it.
I would be more than okay with that.
It'll suck, but, like, you have to realize that your fans idealize you. That's like why it was so hard to get like an AC/DC album out. Like that's why there was such a gap between 1999's Razor Edge and 2006's fucking Black Ice. Black Ice was good, but it was no like it fucking took balls to release that shit. Like it took big balls. It took She's Got Balls. Every fucking song that AC/DC wrote about balls to release that song.
The guy with the hat.
Yeah. Like release that album. It's fucking hard. You have to live up to the standard that you've been creating your entire career. And that's why it terrifies me that System of a Down will just ruin it. But also I know they won't. they've been saying they're going to release an album since fucking 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It's been five, almost 6 years. So keep doing what you're doing, Serge. Keep doing what you're doing, Darren. Keep doing what you're doing, Chavo. Keep what you're doing, the other guy.
Yeah, figure it out.
Just release something that's great. It doesn't have to be great. It has to be mediocre. Release something that we're like, oh, this sounds like the old stuff. Like, mm-hmm. That's all I want. And it doesn't even, like, if it's great and it doesn't sound like the old stuff, it's fine. If you want to release stuff that just sounds like fucking the last song on Toxicity and it's good, that's fine.
Yeah, do a tribal, whatever that last song is, just, the secret song.
Just do your fans proud. If you're going to release an album, you have one last time. And I know that the music is about you guys. But at this point in your career, the music is about us. And I normally hate that shit when it's like, oh, the music isn't about us anymore. I hate it.
Do the fan service.
But do the fans proud. And normally it's not, we want fan service. We want fucking Goku to turn Super Saiyan 15.
We don't want Toxicity
2. We don't want Toxicity 2. We want something new and something innovative. We want something that feels with the times and not just Trump. We want something that feels with, oh, there's fucking murders going on everywhere.
Yeah,
we
the
want
world.
The world.
Exists.
And that's what you guys have always just personified, exemplified everything.
Open our eyes.
Open our eyes to shit that we wouldn't normally see. You guys have been the most political, most outstanding, most eye-opening band ever. And we don't want you to release something that's all Trump. We don't want you to release something that's all Russia. We want you to release something that's all-encompassing, and it's just, it defines the time that we're living in. And yes, that is an incredible task, but you're an incredible band. You're an incredible people. And we know you can do it. And that's what we expect. So, it is a heavy task that you fuckers are up against. But you also released the biggest album of the 2000s.
The Aughts.
7 days before 9/11. You guys can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had fucking government spying all over the place and still released the biggest album of the 2000s. You guys can do it. Make us proud. Make me proud. Serge, Darren, you guys are heroes. Fucking gods among men. We know you can do it. We love you.
We believe in you.
I worship you.
I worship you more.
I worship you more than Jason does, because Jason doesn't believe in what I believe.
Ooh.
Which I believe in System of a Down, so therefore Jason doesn't believe in System of a Down.
What?
I'm just kidding. We love you. Make something that you feel proud of, and we will be proud of it.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be revolutionary. Just make something. Don't do what Sting did. Don't release a song where he goes, I can hear you between a veil of snow and ice. Like you're some deep-ass motherfucker. You're not. I don't know.
Whoa, you just haven't seen the live-action Sting play set to his album. You don't understand how great it was.
Was that song?
To a maritime
theme. I can't stop making
theme.
You feel this way. I don't know. The song is terrible. But anyway, just release something you're proud of, and we'll be proud of it too. That's, you guys have had set the bar so high, and we believe in your ability to set the bar and to meet the bar that you've already set. Back to the eulogy at the beginning, that's what Malcolm Young did. He continuously was like, this is where the direction the band needs to go in, and he directed the band in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I respect him so much. He was consistent. And I'm not saying you guys need to be consistent. You just need to be consistent in the change that you guys can bring on. The absolute, wow, I never expected that from a fucking bunch of four Arminians.
I never expected my life to be changed, my mind to be blown, and I know you guys can do that.
I don't think they're all Arminian.
I think they are.
I don't think... I know for a fact one of them is not.
Okay, three, and one Californian. Whatever. Jason's being racist.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, that's all I have to say. Just make something you're proud of, guys.
Yeah, so that we don't have to say, your music sucks.
Hashtag podcast. Mm-hmm. Hashtag SoundCloud. Hashtag Apple Music. Hashtag...
Audible.
Audible. We didn't do an ad this episode.
No, we didn't. No one's sponsoring us.
No. You know who's sponsoring us?
Who?
I don't know. I tried to come something on the spot, but I'm not that clever. I think we did a good job.
Audible.
We already did that.
Audible books.
Get your Audible Audibles. That you hear your Audible, in your Audible, ears. Audible, 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 Audible.
23andMe. Get your DNA test and find out where you really come from.
And when you sign up for the 23...
You could be Arminian and descendant of System of a Down and all of their band members.
And when you sign up for the three of their band members, Jason.
Oh. Thank you for correcting me. Did you find that out on their recent 23andMe test?
And when you sign up for the 23andMe test, don't forget to activate your real receipt for Audible.
Audible, the 24th 23.
And me.
And me.
And you. And us. And good night. And good luck.
Stolen tagline.
Yes. Good night.